Today is April 7th, 2021, and this is episode number 545 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, and Commander Ichabod is definitely a prancy, pouncy puppy. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment or question anything about the show, and I'm going to be honest with you, you should probably question a lot. You can shoot me a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you straight to our Facebook group. And I am very pleased to let you know that Jeff Gamet, the giggling fellow you heard, is in today's hot seat. Hey, Jeff.
Brian, I'm so excited and happy to be here. Oh, and thank you for making me laugh.
It's what I do. Well, it's what I try to do. It could just be that laughing is what you do and that you're super polite and supportive. That's all. That's very possible.
That's very possible. Or I could feel like this whole thing is very awkward and I'm laughing to cover for it. Who knows?
The world will never know. I would also like to thank LinkedIn Jobs for sponsoring today's show. I appreciate them. Later in the show, I'm going to tell you about how you can get a free job post with them. Jeff, let's do something crazy. Let's do something completely crazy and jump right into it.
Okay, that sounds great. And I'm trying to remember, what was it we were going to talk about?
The first topic, I think, has something to do with Apple's previous credit card through Barclays.
Right, that's right. Oh, that's right. We're doing an episode about me.
Yes.
I remember now.
Yes, it's all about you.
Which is so weird, but okay. All right. Well, we can jump past the whole Barclays part and people will be like, seriously, you're going to lead in with that and then not even talk about it?
Yeah, don't skip that. Why would you skip that?
Well, all right. Well, okay. So,
show the filter, man.
That's true. All right. I'll talk slow. All right. You remember before the Apple Card, if you had an Apple credit card for buying Apple stuff, it was a Visa from Barclays.
Yeah.
And
they did that one for a long time.
Yeah, they did that one for a long time. And so I had one of those cards, and every now and then I would get a little $25 Apple gift card in the mail from Barclays because I had spent enough money. Yeah.
So they would send you wouldn't like build up credit. They actually just like, okay, here you go. Here is your most recent.
Here's your $25 gift card.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
So, apparently I'm an idiot and those things would come in the mail and I just threw them in a drawer.
What?
And
that's like free Apple stuff.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, yes. So, the other day I was organizing some stuff and lo and behold, I find four of these cards in a drawer.
Were they expired? Is that what the story is about?
Yeah, that's what the story's about. And so I showed up at the Apple store wearing my mask, of course, because I'm responsible, and demanded that they give me $100. And then the police showed up, and now there's the whole court order thing, and I can't go near an Apple store. and this is the man bringing me down. No, that's not true. Actually, they don't expire. And so I thought, well, okay, let's just do something with these cards now because I found them. So I bought another HomePod mini.
Oh, excellent. By the way, I feel compelled to sort of rabbit hole pedantic out a little bit.
Might as well. I mean, we've got time to fill.
I'm not sure that they don't expire everywhere. Like I know, for instance, that in California, mm-hmm. gift cards cannot expire. But in some states, they can. Now, whether or not the Barclays one does or does not, I don't know one way or the other. But I don't want like someone to be listening to this and say, oh, I also have a drawer of those, but I guess I never have to worry about it and I'll just deal with it later. And then it turns out they expire.
And then they'll think you're a horrible person because it's your show and I'll be off the hook.
Correct. So I want to avoid that
Understandable.
And just make sure that if you have some of these, you check to see if they expire.
Yeah. And these are actual Apple gift cards, not like Barclay cards you can use at Apple. So,
do we know that Apple doesn't allow them to expire in states where they can?
I have no idea.
I don't know that either. And if we were responsible, we would have found out before we recorded.
That's just crazy talk, Brian. So anyhow, it's been great being on the show, and I have another HomePod mini, and so hit the outro. So that's the buildup to what turned into a headache that is still ongoing for me. Mm. And wait, to be fair, this headache.
So you went to an Apple store and you bought yourself a HomePod mini using these gift cards.
Yeah.
And that's the only part of the story that the gift cards involve. The story, our subject here is not actually about the gift cards.
No, it's not. But as long as we're rabbit holing on this, the purchase experience was really cool. What I did was I ordered the HomePod through the Apple Store app for pickup at my local Apple Store, the 29th Street Apple Store in Boulder. And so I place the order, and I'm thinking, okay, I've, you know, maybe sometime this afternoon I'll get this message and I'll go over and pick it up. No, 5 minutes later I get a message. Your order's ready.
Mm, nice.
So going over to the store, I mean, they had two parking spaces out in front of the store that were painted green on the curb. For Apple. So they had their own curbside pickup spaces, and they came out and I masked, they're masked, and we stayed properly socially distanced.
Because
and,
you were responsible. You
know, right. Because I'm responsible.
Yes.
Right. And we don't want anyone to die.
Right.
And so they hand me my new HomePod mini in one of those awesome paper bags, and it was great. And so anyhow, I set the thing up and it fails on the first setup. I'm like, okay, whatever. That happens every now and then. I probably typed a password wrong, and it's not graceful with that. It just kind of ends and you have to start over. So I start over, set it up, and it's fine. And so this was like 2 days ago. And then I notice later in the day that my main HomePod, you know, an actual HomePod, it isn't doing HomeKit stuff anymore. Like I would give the S lady a command to do something, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't work.
And are you still in a multi home automation platform house?
Yes, of course I am.
Okay. All right. But rabbit hole. How do you keep sorted in your mind whether or not it's hey S lady or hey A lady? Are you using Google too?
I use Google when I'm cooking. And so I have my Google Home on a Wemo switch. And so I'll have the A lady or the S lady turn on the switch, which turns on the Google Home. And then because it's awesome if you're cooking, you say, okay, G lady, how do I make whatever it is? And it finds the recipe and tells you all the ingredients and then waits for you to get everything ready. And then you tell it that you're ready for the next step. And then it tells you what to do when it's time for cooking, you know, like it goes in the oven or whatever, it'll set the timer for you. It's like amazing. Hmm. But anyhow, when it's done, then I tell the G lady or the A lady or the S lady to turn off the Google Home, and it switches off the Wemo switch, and then that's it. Hmm. So, okay. So anyhow, man, we're good with rabbit holes today.
Yeah. Well, you know, must be a day. Oh, let me check my calendar. Yep. Ends in Y. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. And I'm on. So yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So here's the problem. I'm not able to get HomeKit things to happen from the HomePod, but it's working from both of the HomePod minis, and they're in different rooms. So each device is in a separate room. And so the HomePod is telling me that it's having a problem with my account. So I need to go into the Home app and fix it, which is like no help at all, because what do I need to fix?
Yeah.
And where do I find it?
Right.
And ultimately I'm like, I can't even figure out what it's trying to have me fix. And anyhow, so I start doing all this troubleshooting. I'm turning stuff off, turning stuff on.
Yeah. Did you reboot the HomePod?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, it's on a Wemo switch also.
Okay.
Because it needs to be rebooted often enough that it's easier than climbing, you know, under the counter, or sure, the cabinet thing that it's on. And, but, yeah, so really weird. And, so, you know, I'm doing all this troubleshooting and I cannot get the problem resolved. And then, throughout the research I'm doing, ultimately it sounds like I'm having a problem with my iCloud account. And so logging out of my account and logging back in should reset everything and fix the problem. And so I log out of my account on my iPhone and log back in. And first, it didn't fix the problem. But second, that's when I realized that every device Apple makes at this point is actually an accessory for the iPhone, including the Mac. Hmm. Because when I logged out of my iCloud account.
Is that the subject that we're talking about?
Oh, no. This is all just one giant subject.
Okay. All right.
But, well, actually, the whole iCloud thing is the real problem.
Okay.
So, yeah. So,
that's what I thought. And then, yeah. And then you said something about how everything is an accessory to the iPhone.
Yeah.
And that kind of seems like a surprise other topic.
Oh, yeah, surprise. Yeah, so anyhow, I log out of my iCloud account on my iPhone and log back in, and not thinking about what's going to happen, except that I'm logging out, logging back in, and then, hey, maybe my HomePod will start working correctly again. Well, it doesn't, but it killed my iCloud account on every single device.
Hmm.
Like everything that I have.
Hmm.
And so yeah, I get logged back in on my iPhone. Doesn't fix the HomeKit problem, but I can do HomeKit stuff from both the minis, which is weird. So now I'm going around and I'm having to re-log into my iCloud account on all of my devices, and then fix all the settings that got reset because of that. And anyhow. So ultimately, I get the HomePod to work correctly again by making HomeKit forget the device and adding it again as new. Don't know why that fixed the problem, but there we go. But now I have other problems.
What problem was being fixed?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what got fixed. And then, you know, now I'm finding, okay, so on every single device that I have, so that's what, three iPads and a Mac, and I'm probably forgetting something. Anyhow, all these devices are now logged out of iCloud, and so I have to log them back in, and then so I get that done, and then I realize that stuff still isn't working correctly. So one of the things that I do when I play music is I'll say, hey, S-Lady, play whatever genre everywhere. And then all of the HomePods are playing everything in sync, you know, just like you can do with the Sonos.
Yeah, it's a great, great feature.
Yeah, it's great.
When it works.
And so depending on which HomePod is closest to me, whichever one hears the command, will determine which of the, or how many of the three HomePods will actually play.
Hmm.
So if I tell the HomePod in the living room to play music everywhere, it'll play in the living room and the bedroom, and I can't even manually add the Mini in my office into the mix, even though it's there and it shows up.
Hmm.
But if I do the same thing from the bedroom, all the devices work. So I guess basically right now it's, and if I do it from the office, it's like a random thing. If all three of the HomePods will play, or if that one will play alone, or if it will include one of the others. So weird. And I have, at this point, I've removed all the HomePods and added them back in as new. And it's just this weird problem that is ongoing. And so, you know, I said that I realized at this point, Apple is treating everything that they sell as an accessory to the iPhone, including the Macintosh, because I had to go in and re-enable my iCloud account on my Mac as well. But now get this. I can't enable iCloud Keychain on my Mac. Hmm. Like, no matter what I do. Hmm. Which is a problem. Now, of course, I'm a one password user. So that's where I do all of my heavy lifting with password management. But iCloud Keychain is doing this other stuff in the background that is really convenient.
You know, sure.
If I have a password for a Wi-Fi network, that's available to all my devices now.
Right.
And yeah, so there's certain passwords that you want in Keychain and you want it synchronized because it just makes life easier. So I can't control any HomeKit devices from my Mac now because I can't turn on iCloud Keychain on my Mac. So what's up with that?
That is quite peculiar. Did you call AppleCare?
Not yet, because I'm only 2 days into this problem, and I like to let things like this fester for a while before I finally call Apple.
Well, I mean, because you will get free support because you have a brand new Mini,
right? And and actually, I'm going to have to call them because we've hit the point where I've done everything that I know of to fix the problem. And yet it's still a problem. So, it's not even like it's a problem where I can say, oh, it's this one HomePod Mini. Although the problem did start when I added in one more HomePod Mini.
Yeah, I'm wondering what that triggered. It seems like what it did, because I'm an expert, right? You knew that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm here, because I need your expertise.
It seems like what happened when you signed in with that device is that it like corrupted something, like literally corrupted a file associated with your account for which devices were logged in.
Yes, that seems very plausible. Which, if that's the case, well, even if it's not, just based on what's happening, it shows me yet again just how fragile the whole HomeKit system is, but also how fragile Apple's entire system for user account IDs is.
Right. You know, yeah, and this, we don't know if this is a HomeKit or an iCloud issue.
Now that I can't turn on iCloud Keychain on my Mac, I'm feeling like that's I've got weird. An iCloud related issue.
Yeah.
It might be more accurate to say, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but it feels good to say it. I may have an Apple ID issue.
Have you signed out of signed out of iCloud on your Mac and signed back in?
No. And the reason I haven't is because I'm pretty sure it's going to blow iCloud settings out from all the other devices again.
Yeah, and it could, and, like, you could end up losing data.
Yeah, and I definitely don't want to lose data. Like, at this point, I'm concerned about my iCloud keychain database. Yes, I have multiple backups. Nonetheless, you know, that's one of those things that I don't want that database getting lost or corrupted in some way.
Wait, hold on.
Even with having backups.
Hold on. So, are backups like when you take all the things that are really important and then you make a copy of them so that they're not only in one place, so that if something happens, you can still, is that what a backup is?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard of this. I mean, I don't do it. I don't have them, but I've heard about them.
Brian.
Okay. I exaggerate. I've got a carbon copy cloner backup that is at least a year young.
Do you have an external drive doing Time Machine at least?
I have a carbon copy cloner.
Dude, holy crap. Do you realize that you can get like a terabyte hard drive, just like a little portable USB 3 one off of Amazon for like $70?
Yeah, I know. I didn't say I was being smart. I didn't say that I'm glad about this. I'm just confessing that I am a little off on my backup. Like, it's one of those things that I keep saying I'm going to deal with it. Yeah, I got okay. Better deal with that.
You better deal with that. All right. So,
I've been saying that I better deal with that since I read Bob Levitis's Dr. Mac's OS 7.6.1 for Dummies, where he talks about having a backup of your Mac on floppy.
Yeah, that kind of dates it. But yes.
A weekly backup that you take to your bank account, your safety deposit box every week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was monthly that you take it to your safety deposit box, but then you have a weekly one and then you have a daily one. All on floppy. I'm reading this and I'm saying I don't have any backups. But the cool thing is that here we are 26 years later and I sort of have one. I'm making progress, Jeff.
I'm really proud of you for making progress. Yeah. Okay, Brian. So here's what you need to do. I mean, since basically this is the rabbit hole show.
Yeah.
You need to order, and we're just going to make this easy. We're going to have you order one hard drive for now. Okay.
And I've got a 2 terabyte OWC SSD, the kind that uses the stick. It's fantastic. Okay, and that's where I have my carbon copy cloner, my CCC one.
There you go. Your CCC one. Great. Okay. So, you need to make a to-do that, or set up a schedule for carbon copy cloner as well. So like once a week, it's just doing its clone thing for you
or daily.
Or daily. And I just texted you a link to this hard drive, 2 terabyte little portable hard drive. It's called the Seagate Backup Plus Slim. And, it's $80 for 2 terabytes.
Nice.
And I've got a few of these. So like I have a daily, or I have a Time Machine backup on one, and my iTunes music library on another, and carbon copy cloner, weekly backup on another. And I have a couple more of these doing other things.
When can you just come and do this for me so that I don't have to do it?
Well, I need to get my second Pfizer shot first. Yes,
and I need to get my first one. And then
we have to wait 14 days.
Right.
Okay, so 14 days after your second one, then we can schedule the flight for me to come out and help you get this set up.
Am I paying?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dress.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, we're talking about the fact that everyone needs to be doing backups. And what Jeff is experiencing is a fantastic example of why you should be doing backups.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if something goes wrong, I can restore my keychain from a Time Machine backup, from a nightly backup that goes to my Synology, and I'm using Super Duper for that, from my weekly backup that happens through Carbon Copy Cloner, mm-hmm. or from my online backup that's running all the time. And I'm actually using Dolly Drive for that.
Okay.
Backblaze is awesome. And I'm using Dolly Drive because I started testing their thing like years and years ago, and Momentum, I'm still using it, but it's great. So there you go. You have multiple options for your online offsite backup. But anyhow, so I have multiple locations where I can recover this from. But if I don't have to, I'd prefer that because it's just easier. So I guess what this boils down to is I'm discovering that what I've been concerned about for a long time, which is that so much of, or at least parts of Apple's infrastructure for making our lives easier is dangerously fragile.
Yeah.
And you can have one little thing go wrong and it just compounds out. And for someone like me that knows where to look and how to troubleshoot and has multiple backups in case something goes horribly wrong on a local level, I know what to do. What if this was just your average iPhone user, your average iPhone and Mac user? Something like this happened, where would they even start to look?
Right. Well, they would start to look by looking up your phone number. If they, people that don't know how to look tend to know someone that does.
Okay, that's a good point. But still,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the fact that if something goes wrong, the first thing a lot of people are going to have to do, because this is so opaque, what's happening here, they have to go find someone and say, "I'm at a loss. I don't know what's going on. Help."
Right. All right. Well, good luck with that.
Well, thanks. I'll let you know how it plays out. I mean, ultimately, it's going to play out that I have everything fixed. So what I need to let you know is how I managed to get it fixed.
Yes. Maybe we can have another show where we delve into that.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great. And I can tell you now, one of the last things I will do from this point forward for troubleshooting is log out of an iCloud account.
Yeah. I've had to do that before, and it doesn't make me tense on an iPhone or iPad. It does make me tense on my Mac.
Yeah.
I've definitely had to do it. I've been instructed to do it, as a matter of fact. On iOS devices and iPad OS devices, but at the time it was iOS, and I am okay with that. I definitely get a little nervous about doing it on a Mac.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous doing it on an iOS device as well. I mean, so my concern on an iOS device is you do it, and of course it logs you out of Find My, so. Just be aware of that. Mm-hmm. But when you log back into your account, you're auto logged back into Find My. But it comes up and it says, "Hey, or you're going to be disconnected from calendars and contacts and notes and to dos. Do you want to save local copies or not?" And I'm always terrified to say, "Yeah, don't worry about saving local copies," because I'm afraid it's just going to blow out those databases across all my devices.
Right. Yeah, I guess
so. So I always tell it, "Save locally."
Right.
And then when I log back in, now I have to tell it to synchronize because it doesn't give me the option, overwrite from iCloud. Right. It's either just stick with local or synchronize. And then I'm always terrified. Is it going to duplicate everything?
Yeah. I've dealt with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, that can be tense. All right. Hold on a second. Let me take a second to tell you about LinkedIn Jobs. Small businesses have always shown an incredible ability to adapt, innovate, and survive, even more so this past year. Another way that you can adapt is by finding the right people to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs helps you do that for free. Get started by posting your job for free to reach LinkedIn's vast and diverse network of 740 million professionals. Fill out targeted screening questions to get your role in front of the most qualified candidates with the experience, skills, and motivation you need for your business. Then, with simple filtering and management tools, you can easily review, rate, and hone in on your top candidate. LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person for your role fast, and your first job post is free. All because you're listening to ACM. All you have to do is visit linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to get your first job post for free. And one more time, linkedin.com/ACM. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Jeff, I want to keep...
You want to sing to me. That's what you want to do.
Always. Always. I also want to keep this in the realm of home automation because I like talking home automation with you.
Okay. How about if I tell you the thing that I'm getting ready to start playing with?
Okay. Please do.
You can help me brainstorm?
Sure.
Okay. So I bought a pack of NFC stickers.
As you do.
Of course, as I do, because that's how I roll. And I want to start using these little NFC stickers as part of my home automation system. And, you know, like right now, I can use any of my devices, except for my Mac, because, hey, thanks, I can't use iCloud Keychain there yet. No, I'm not bitter. You know, so I can manually do something by tapping on the screen of an iOS device.
Okay.
Or I can say, hey, S lady, and have something happen. Or I can use geofencing and have things happen. So these are all things that I do right now. But if I add in NFC tags, I can have things happen based on where I put my iPhone specifically.
Like hyperlocal geofencing.
Right. Yeah. So
that's not a technical term. That's something I just made up.
Yeah. It's Brian Tech.
Yes.
And I love Brian Tech.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When I leave my place, if it's dark out, the lights go off because I had them on when I come home. If it's dark out, the lights come on for me, so I don't have to turn lights on and off.
I do that with just geofencing, like just the built-in tools for sure. Siri and HomeKit.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, which is great. So, you know, that's an easy and really cool way to do some home automation. Mm-hmm. But if I want it to be more localized, like one of the things that I think I'm going to set up is an action where if I set my iPhone on the arm of the couch, then it will turn on the Apple TV, turn on the television, and then set all my lights for watching TV.
Okay, so you're gonna, what are you going to do? You're going to like super glue a NFC tag to the arm of your couch and then put your iPhone on top of it?
I could. Or I could, I always have a couple coasters sitting on the arm of the couch side by side, even though I'm only drinking one thing at a time.
I'll just always be prepared, man. It's your Boy Scout. It's your boy, inner Boy Scout coming out.
That's right. Which is crazy because I was never a Boy Scout, but there you go. Yeah, so I could put a sticker on a coaster or, oh, there's the windowsill right there. I'll just stick it on the windowsill and I'll set the iPhone on that. And when I do that or set it close enough to that, then it will trigger that whole action for me. you know, which is cool. And yes, I can do that whole routine right now by saying, hey, S lady, I'm watching TV. But, you know, just being able to set the phone down is kind of cool.
Well, let me ask you this, though. So you set this up, and I get, like, you know, I always talk about the magic of speaking to the air. Like, that's what I, that's what I really want in my home automation. I want to be able to speak to the air without worrying about where the device is, without worrying about where the microphone is. Right? And that is terrific. Now, the idea of also being able to simply put your iPhone down and trigger a either an event or a sequence of events is also fantastic. But what if, in this scenario, you're watching TV, you sit down, you put your iPhone down in the spot where it goes, definitely the spot. It's got to be in the spot. You put your iPhone in the spot. And now the lights come down, you know, some lights maybe go off or whatever. But now you get up and you have a guest and you get a phone call and you need to take that phone call, but you don't want to either burden your guest or maybe even you just want to be, want it to be private from your guest. So now you pick up your iPhone and you go into another room to talk. And now everything comes back, all the lights go come back up and, you know, really possibly disturbing your guest.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Okay. So the trigger that I'm thinking of, it doesn't undo when you
you wouldn't have a second trigger
from the NFC tag
to undo it.
Yeah, this would just be when I do this, when I set this here, turn all of these things on in this specific way.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And the yeah, I like it too.
I like it. I have a scene in the home app called "I'm going to bed," so that I can say, "Hey, S lady, I'm going to bed," as if I'm having a conversation with her.
Okay, so now how about if you put a NFC tag, like on your nightstand? And you have that set up so that it it triggers that scene. So you just set your iPhone on the nightstand, and it does the same thing as, hey, S lady, I'm going to bed.
I probably wouldn't do that one. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
When I get on a phone call, I have a relatively small house. I've got a living room, got a bedroom, got an office. So relatively small, not tiny, but relatively small. And when I am sitting at my desk, if I take a phone call, I tend to not look on my Mac. Right?
Okay.
Which is rude because I'm not giving my full attention to the person to whom I'm talking. So in order to enforce screen discipline, which is ridiculous that I need to, but at least I recognized it and did something about it, I will get up and I will often go and lie on the bed for a phone conversation.
Okay.
I don't know that I would want to have NFC set up because I don't think I want to set my entire house up if I'm going to go end up having a phone conversation as opposed to, say, going to bed.
All right. Put an NFC sticker on your desk. And when you get a phone call, you set your iPhone on the sticker and it triggers putting your Mac into screensaver mode.
I could do that.
Yeah.
That might possibly work. Mind you, I like this idea. And I certainly also, geofencing is very, very useful. Folks, if you haven't done any geofencing, just the built-in Siri and HomeKit stuff available through the Home app. If you haven't done any geofencing, and like in particular, I've got stuff that's triggered when I leave the house and when I arrive back home. It is very, very useful, and I strongly recommend. Like, if you have never been sold on HomeKit, like you set up HomeKit stuff, but you just find yourself not using it, set up some geofencing stuff and it may well change your perspective.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things where for a lot of people, you need to set something up and see it in action before you can see the value in having some of this automation. Yeah. And that's perfectly fine. Hey, do you have a garage door opener?
So I'm renting in my current house. Mm-hmm. I want a HomeKit garage door opener, but have not bargained properly with my landlord to make that happen.
Okay. Well,
I won't be here forever, so.
Sure. Yeah, you don't want to pay for that garage door opener because it'll be a pain to take out and when you leave.
Right. And he shouldn't necessarily have to bear the expense of getting me a HomeKit garage door opener because the, you know, next person that moves in may not be a HomeKit person.
Sure. Yep. But okay, so here's one scenario.
Yeah,
let's say you had a garage door opener.
Yeah.
And it's not HomeKit, but it can be triggered remotely, through an app.
Sure.
Instead of having to launch the app when you get close to home, why not have an NFC sticker on your dashboard and you just touch your iPhone to that and it makes a garage door open? Or you get in the car and you want your phone to go into do not disturb mode. Mm-hmm. Have that NFC sticker set up so that when you get in the car and you tap it on, you tap your phone on the sticker, it just puts your phone into do not disturb mode. Or, you know, it could be the sticker could be in your whatever holder you have for your iPhone. So it's not even like you have to do a separate thing. You just put the iPhone where it goes and it's automatically in do not disturb mode.
And do not disturb mode by your bed would be very useful too.
Yes.
Yeah. And these are definitely things that you need something like an NFC tag to do. Geofencing probably isn't going to do it.
Yeah, because of where you are. Now, of course, with your iPhone, you can also set it up so that when you start driving, it automatically goes into that bug me mode.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is, there are a lot of things that you can do with these NFC tags in your iPhone. And it just seems like a really cool thing to do. And I found an app that I'm going to use with all this. And
what is the app?
It's called NFC Tools.
Okay, good name.
And
it sounds like it's like tools for NFC.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a free app, but it also has I think it's like a one-time fee. And it unlocks a bunch of other things that it can do.
Okay.
But, you know, the point is, there's this app that I can get for my iPhone where I can set all this stuff up. And then I have these stickers. And then this lets me program the sticker so that my iPhone knows what to do when it gets near that specific sticker. And away you go.
All right, that makes sense. So when I moved into this place 3 years ago, come June, mm-hmm. So not quite 3 years ago, I set it up from the get-go to be HomeKit lighting in particular. I've got some other HomeKit stuff, but I mainly use it for the lighting. And I've got various, as I described earlier, I've got some scenes set up. I've got some geo-fencing stuff set up. And I've loved it. But here is, I have stumbled upon a friction point. And that friction point is when you need to change out a light bulb. Because it's not just a matter of popping in a new light bulb. You, for one thing, you do have, you put in your new light bulb and now you have to add it to your home network. Mm-hmm. And now you need to name it. You can't, I haven't found a way to replace one HomeKit device with another HomeKit device.
You know, I haven't found a good thing for that either. I always rename the old one first and I just add old at the end. Mm-hmm. So I can remember what it is, put the new one in and give it the name of the old one and set it all up. And, yeah, I'm with you. It'd be nice if I could tell HomeKit, hey, this device that I'm putting in, just swap it out for this other one.
Yeah. This is the new back left living room light.
Yeah.
That's for me. I've got like back right and back left, living room left and living room right, or something to that effect. And that would be, but then also you need to turn around and then add it to any scenes that you have set up.
Right.
And these are, this is a friction point. And I say it's a friction point because I have new HomeKit light bulbs that I got to replace a couple that burned out. Yes, that means they burned out after only a couple of years, 2.5 years. Well,
really? Do you mind telling me what brand they were? I'm just curious.
Yes, the Sylvania A19 Plus, Smart Plus, A19 Plus.
Yeah, I had one of those. I say had because I gave it away to someone who wanted to experiment with HomeKit stuff.
I was really excited about those light bulbs because they were HomeKit only. Like they make one for like everything else. And then they make another one for HomeKit only. And I really like that because I feel, and this is probably not true anymore, that it's more secure when it's HomeKit only.
Well,
it was at the time, actually.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Okay. So if you get a device that's HomeKit only, then there's a presumed level of security in that because the chip that's in there is in the device is set up to have the HomeKit security. When you get a device that's HomeKit plus A Lady and G Lady, the HomeKit side is still going to have its security, but you still have that chip that's doing the A Lady and G Lady stuff.
And it's still on your network, even if you're not using A Lady and G Home.
Right. So you have this this security weak point right there that you have no control over, and it's not like you can turn that chip off. So I think there's a potentially higher level of security in the HomeKit only devices, but that's not always necessarily true because you may still have behind that the same chip that's right. A security and threat on other platforms.
As Dave Hamilton pointed out to me not too long ago, Apple sort of backed off on its security requirements.
Right. Yeah. Now you can do it through software.
Now you can do it through software, which means, whatever. But when I bought these light bulbs, they were HomeKit only. I was very happy about that. Now, funny enough, by the way, I would have replaced them with more of those. Mm-hmm. And Amazon will not send them to me. They'll send them. I could send them to my mom and ask my mom to go through the hassle of sending them to me. But that seems really ridiculous.
So, that's so weird.
And I have no idea why. They're on the Amazon site, and I can't find them anywhere else. And it's super annoying. So I ended up getting a couple of like a cheaper brand, and the light, quite frankly, is inferior. It's like the LEDs are clearly not up to the same quality standards that Sylvania was using for its light bulbs. But here's the deal. So I got replacement bulbs. And I haven't set them up yet, in part because I changed one because it was relatively easy, but I still don't have it added to like all the right scenes. And anyway, this is a friction point. It should be easier to change out a HomeKit device from an ID standpoint from one piece of hardware to another piece of hardware.
You know what would be nice? If in the home app, when you're doing a new device setup, if you already have other devices on your network and or in your HomeKit setup, and they do similar things, if as part of the setup, it would say, is this device going to replace something that's already on your network?
Oh, and if so, pick it.
Right. And then it just swaps it out for you.
Alternately, let's say it would be nice if there was let's say my HomeKit button designation for, in my case, living room back left, right? And I could open up that in the home app, and then there's a button that says replace hardware or something along those lines. That would also be useful.
Sure. Yep, I'm with you.
So
there. there are places where this could be a lot more friendly. And yet I think it's still a lot more friendly than setting something up for a lady.
Oh, I've never done that, so I wouldn't have an opinion.
It's not horribly bad, at least for me, because, you know, I do this all the time, but you know how you add a new light bulb to your setup and HomeKit just knows it's a light bulb and knows what to do with it. So you can say, hey, S lady, turn off all the lights or turn on all the lights or make all the lights red or whatever. And it will do that. With a lady, you have to go and like, if you want to be able to say, hey, a lady, turn off all the lights, mm-hmm. you have to make an action that what it does is turns off lights. And then you have to add every single light that you have, because it doesn't know what a light is to be able to just turn them all off.
Okay. Yeah. That doesn't sound fun.
No, it's kind of annoying.
Now, all of this said, I am still very glad that I've gone to the hassle of setting this stuff up.
It's a lot of fun.
It's frustrating and annoying, but fun. But it's useful. The scenes in particular, like the coming home and leaving home scenes, mm-hmm. are very, very convenient. They're mm-hmm. extremely convenient. Like the fact that whatever it is that I did in my house, when I get home and it's dark, the lights that I want on are going to be on, and they're going to turn on when I hit my Wi-Fi network.
Yes,
and I don't, you know, oh. so I don't have to worry about it. I'm not worried about, like, you know, dealing with a dark porch where I might trip, or you know, or you know, mm-hmm. I guess theoretically a bad guy could be hiding or something. I'm not really actually worried about that. But these things are like they're super convenient and they're super useful, and I want them to improve in terms of usability and ease of setup. But even with that in mind, they are worth the effort.
Yes, I agree with you. There are so many things that I can do because I have home automation. For example, in the before time, mm-hmm. When travel was a common thing,
strange word you use, friend.
Yes, I know. Back when we would get in the big metal tube and Skyfly, it was so weird. I had automation routines set up so that my lights would turn on and off to appear as if I was home.
Yeah.
And they would do that, not like in the really old days where you'd get those mechanical dials and set right. the times, and so it's exactly the same time every day. No, it's like around this time these lights will turn on, or maybe these lights,
right?
And then around this time they'll turn off, and these other ones will probably have already turned on, and you know, so it looks a lot more natural, and it's great. And I just thought of another thing for the NFC tags.
Okay.
So set them in the door frames for your rooms so that when you get near them, then it toggles the lights on or off. So you walk into a room, they toggle on. You leave the room, they toggle off. I have
phone with you, man. I call foul on that. The whole point is to not worry about where my microphone is. It's one thing to trigger.
I appreciate that.
It's one thing to manually trigger an action by, you know, touching your phone to an NFC tag. It's another thing to, like, now I've got to carry my iPhone. Really, what we need is HomeKit awareness that is astute and aware enough to do that through micro hyperlocal geofencing.
Yeah, that would be cool. So now, how are you going to do that if you're not carrying your iPhone around?
Oh, darn it. Touché, sir. I love it when I get called on my own shenanigans.
I'll give you the comeback that you could have thrown at me.
Okay. All right.
My Apple Watch has NFC and I'm wearing that all the time.
I was thinking of that. But still, that's still essentially like, you know, having a device with you dependent.
Yeah. It's, okay. So here's the fix for that. I think, but now it's not NFC anymore. Now you just need to have motion sensors or some other type of sensor that's detecting what is changing.
Yeah, but you could do that with your HomeKit.
Oh yeah, totally.
You could stick a motion sensor in your room and then have, you know, and connect that to your light switch.
That's true. But can you have an alert go to your iPhone and say, hey, this motion sensor was tripped.
Not through an old fashioned motion sensor. No.
Yeah. Now, of course, for
an independent motion sensor.
Yeah. For a sensor like that, for those of us that have animal companions, you need to make sure you put your sensor at a place where the pet won't trigger it.
Ooh, good point there. Good point there. All right, listen, Jeff, we are out of time. So first of all, let me do this. And that is this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on or question or maybe add, you can write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom Recorded just for TMO. I'd like to thank LinkedIn Jobs for sponsoring this particular episode. And remember, all you have to do is visit linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to get your first job post for free. And Mr. Gamut, I want to thank you very, very much for guest hosting this week.
Mr. Chaffin, I am so glad to be here. Seriously, I have so much fun when we hang out together like this.
Same, brother. Same. And on that happy note,